I'm Veronica Dudo. Tonight on EWTN News Nightly, closed-minded. The U.S. government shutdown is underway after lawmakers failed to reach a compromise. What's impacted and what comes next? Closed for good, new developments in Planned Parenthood's abortion business in Louisiana, on the ground in Ukraine.
It was bombed almost the department where dialysis was performed, and one doctor died.
EWTN News brings you the story of those fighting to keep children alive and where they find hope. Plus, a little flower that's always in bloom. Learn more about St. Therese of Lisieux on her feast day. These stories and more tonight.
From EWTN, the Global Catholic Network, this is EWTN News Nightly.
Thank you for being with us. We begin tonight with the shutdown of the federal government. It started at 12:01 this morning. It's the first since 2019, and there's no end in sight. About 750,000 federal employees nationwide have been furloughed, and essential employees will work without getting paid. The effects are starting to ripple through the nation. Let's check in with Capitol Hill correspondent Eric Rosales with the latest from Congress. Eric.
Well, good evening, Veronica. Neither Republicans nor Democrats up here are blinking less than 24 hours into this government shutdown. Now, earlier today, Senate Majority Leader John Thune brought the recently passed Clean CR funding bill up for another vote, but it failed once again. Now, despite that, Republican leadership tells me that they are confident that more Democrats will come over in the near future. So far, Democratic Senators John Fetterman and Catherine Cortez Masto have joined Republicans along with Independent Senator Angus King.
Many feel that this was an opportunity to stand up to Donald Trump, to vote no, and to fight back. The irony, the paradox is, by shutting the government, we're actually giving Donald Trump more power.
Republican leaders held a news conference saying the next move is up to Democrats.
How does this end? Well, it ends when the Senate Democrats pick this bill up, passed by the House of Representatives, and vote for it. It's on the floor of the Senate.
The simple truth is Democrats in Congress have dragged our country into another reckless shutdown to satisfy their far-left base. That is the truth. Whether or not the government remains open or reopens is entirely up to them.
While Democrats say it's up to Republicans.
They should come and talk to us without conditions because the American people are suffering. Their health care is in shambles.
Meanwhile, the shutdown continues to affect families across the nation, including the military and veterans. The
payments can be delayed, and that would be with any contractors. Certainly our service members won't be paid, but they will continue to serve actively. If you look at veterans, certainly then they also are affected by maybe not being able to attend appointments.
Senator Rick Scott tells me lawmakers should be treated the same way as government workers.
And trying to get a bill passed that says if we're not going to pass our budgets, we shouldn't get paid until we pass our budgets. It's pretty simple. If you go out to the private sector, people don't get paid if they don't show up and do their job. The most basic job up here is pass a budget.
And as of right now, this isn't likely to end anytime soon. Now, senators were expected to be on recess tomorrow for Yom Kippur, but Majority Leader John Thune has decided to bring in senators, call them in at noon. They're not going to be voting on another CR. They're going to be voting on confirmations of some of the federal judges and things like that. So we're not expecting another vote on the CR possibly until Friday and then into the weekend to get the government funded. But once again, Republicans say that they will not divert from their plan to pass that is, a clean CR until November 21st. And Democrats need to jump on board in order to prevent this shutdown from continuing. At the Capitol, Eric Rosales, EWTN News Nightly.
Vice President J.D. Vance blasted Democrats for shutting down the government over policy disagreements. The vice president addressed the media as a special guest today in the White House press briefing room. He told reporters essential services that the American people need have been taken hostage as a result. White House correspondent Owen Jensen continues our team coverage. Owen.
Veronica, good evening to you. In addition to that, the vice president made it clear to reporters, emphasizing, quote, we need to reopen the government. And he didn't stop there.
Vice President J.D. Vance rips into Democrats.
What they have done instead is to shut down the government because we won't give billions of dollars to health care funding for illegal aliens. That is what has actually happened.
And the vice president warns of the shutdown consequences.
We have people who require food assistance, low-income Americans who require food assistance, who will not get it unless we reopen the government, thanks to Chuck Schumer and his wing of the Democratic Party.
And White House Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt took Democrats to task over paychecks.
And I saw some Democrat members today saying they're still going to accept their paychecks because they have 3 kids at home and they have mouths to feed. Well, so do these federal workers who those same Democrats just voted to shut down the government and turn off their pay. And we believe that's very unfair.
Leavitt also warning reporters layoffs are coming.
Unfortunately, because the Democrats shut down the government, the president has directed his cabinet and the Office of Management and Budget is working with agencies across the board to identify where cuts can be made. And we believe that layoffs are imminent. They are, unfortunately, a consequence of this government shutdown.
At issue, Democrats demanding health insurance tax credits in the ACA get extended. Just yesterday, President Trump telling reporters,
as you know, no country can afford to pay for illegal immigration, health care for everybody that comes into the country, and that's what they're insisting. And obviously, I have an obligation to not accept that. That would affect everybody.
The president also says the country is doing well, adding the last thing he wants is to shut it down. But he says,
a lot of good can come down from shutdowns. We can get rid of a lot of things that we didn't want, and they'd be Democrat things, but they want open borders. They want men playing in women's sports. They want transgender for everybody. They never stop, and they don't learn.
Now, today, the vice president was asked if he thinks this is going to be a long shutdown. He said he can't predict what congressional Democrats are going to do. He did say he doesn't think it's going to last that long, but he called that a pure guess. At the White House, Owen Jensen, EWTN News Nightly.
Thomas Aiello works with Congress and the Trump administration on tax policies as a senior director of government affairs for the National Taxpayers Union. Welcome to the show. Now, we've had such shutdowns before, including the longest in history at 35 days during President Trump's first term. What's different this time?
You know, it's really unfortunate that we're in a situation that the government's shut down. We have always said no one wins in a government shutdown. We pay federal bureaucrats not to work. Our military, whether at home or abroad, they're working and not getting paid right now. And important energy projects can't get approved. So it really does impact the American people. Now, the way forward is very simple. Democrats could simply allow a short-term funding resolution to continue. That would allow more time for negotiators to find a path forward on funding. But it seems like they want to play political games.
It seems like lawmakers are on both sides are actually digging in for the long haul. What will it take to get an agreement?
You know, we'll have to see. It really is unfortunate that we're in this position, but we have to remember, Republicans in the House, they did their job 2 weeks ago. They passed a short-term funding deal to fund the government for 7 weeks to allow that negotiation process to continue. Unfortunately, Democrats seem to see that there's a political motive here to keep the government closed, and I don't think that's what the American people want to see. They want to see their government working for them. And it seems like Democrats, they don't want to play ball at the moment. So it really is up to them to see when we get the government back open.
Now, Wall Street was in the green today. Now, looking to Main Street beyond those directly affected by job freezes or firings, where are Americans most likely to notice disruptions?
You know, for the most part, Americans really won't feel anything for at least 1 or 2 weeks. That's in the past. That's really been the spot where Americans start to feel it. But certainly, you know, if you are a worker that relies on federal funding, whether you're a TSA agent, you might see longer lines at the airport. And then, of course, you know, if you're a worker right now employed by the federal government, you're not going to see a next paycheck. So it really does impact the American people on a daily basis. But it is about the 2 week period. That's when Americans will start to feel it.
Now, if this shutdown continues, what are the potential long term consequences for the U.S. economy, global markets and public trust in government?
You know, you hit it right on the head earlier. You said the markets were in the green today. I do think markets sort of brush these things off. They've come to expect Congress to not take this seriously, which is very unfortunate. Now, that being said, if this continues to expand for 2, 3, 4 weeks, perhaps longer, then I think markets will start to react. But at the same time, there's been data that shows the economy loses billions of dollars when the government shuts down. We just don't have that back. So it really is a deadweight loss on the economy. The best thing for everybody, let's just get the government open. Let's continue to negotiate on funding the government and hammering out all our disagreements with the government open and people able to get their services and paychecks as they should.
Thomas Aiello, Senior Director of Government Affairs for the National Taxpayers Union. Thank you.
Thank you.
U.S. Senator Dick Durbin from Illinois has declined an award from the Archdiocese of Chicago. Cardinal Blaise Supich planned to give the senator a Lifetime Achievement Award for support to immigrants. However, that decision was met with major backlash from several bishops who said Mr. Durbin should not receive the award due to his history of pro-abortion politics. Last night, EWTN News asked the Pope, a Chicago native, about the issue.
I just wanted to ask one thing that has become a bit of a divisive subject in the U.S. right now, with Cardinal Supich giving an award to Senator Durbin. Some people of faith are having a hard time with understanding this because he is he's for legalized abortion. How would you help people of faith right now decipher that, feel about that, and how do you feel about that?
I'm not terribly familiar with the particular case. I think that it's very important to look at the overall work that a senator has done during, if I'm not mistaken, 40 years of service in the United States Senate. I understand the difficulty and the tensions, but I think, as I myself have spoken in the past, it's important to look at many issues that are related to what is the teaching of the church. Someone who says I'm against abortion but says I'm in favor of the death penalty is not really pro-life. So someone who says that I'm against abortion but I'm in agreement with the inhuman treatment of immigrants who are in the United States, I don't know if that's pro-life. So they're very complex issues. I don't know if anyone has all the truth on them, but I would ask first and foremost that there be greater respect for one another and that we search together, both as human beings, in that case as American citizens or citizens of the state of Illinois, as well as Catholics, to say we need to, you know, really look closely at all of these ethical issues and to find the way forward as church. The church teaching on each one of those issues is very clear.
Thank you very much.
For more, we turn to Jonathan Liddle, senior editor for the National Catholic Register. Jonathan, thank you for joining us.
Great to be with you.
So we heard the Pope's words there. Can you give us context around the Holy Father's response to that question yesterday about the controversy surrounding Senator Durbin and the Lifetime Award?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that controversy, it's been a major issue in the U.S. now for 2 weeks. As was mentioned, we've had 8 bishops publicly ask Cardinal Supich to rescind the award, which is a rarity to have bishops critiquing each other in public. In addition to that, the story has been front and center for Catholic media across the ecclesial spectrum. In addition to that, it was picked up by secular media, including the Associated Press. So clearly something of significance and important back home in the Pope's home country. In terms of how the question was asked, Pope Leo XIV has actually begun the practice of answering questions from reporters as he travels to Castel Gandolfo every Monday evening for a day of rest away from the Vatican. So that was the context here. Actually, the Pope responded to several questions before he was asked this question by EWTN News, engaging in questions of, you know, current events and topics. And so that was the context here, and he responded accordingly.
So the faithful are very excited to hear from the first American pope. So always listening into these moments. Now, Pope Leo XIV, he previously addressed the definition of pro-life beyond just fighting abortion. Has he ever done that? And might we hear more from him on this issue in the future?
Yeah, this seems to be a big theme of Pope Leo's. Pope Leo wants Catholics to be consistent. He wants Catholics to embrace and apply all of the church's teaching related to human dignity and life. For instance, we saw this in his first week of being pope during an address to the diplomatic corps. He said no one is exempted from striving to ensure respect for the dignity of every person, especially the most frail and vulnerable, from the unborn to the elderly, from the sick to the unemployed, citizens and immigrants alike. And the language he used to talk about being pro-life in this interview was strikingly familiar to an address he gave in 2023 as a cardinal in Peru. But it's also important to highlight from that speech that he said, though we need to be consistent on these issues, it doesn't mean that every issue is morally equivalent. So important context and likely how the Pope will talk about this going forward.
Now, in his letter yesterday, after Senator Durbin declined the award, Cardinal Supich struck a note to move forward. What did you make of his comments?
Well, Cardinal Supich gave an explanation. He expressed disappointment that the award wasn't accepted and provided some explanation for why he offered it in the first place. But Cardinal Supich also lamented that Catholics in the United States find themselves, quote unquote, politically homeless. He said that neither of the two major parties fully embraces and represents the church's teaching on the human person, on life and dignity. And often we find that Catholics ourselves are very divided on these issues as well. So his call was for Catholics to engage in dialogue with politicians who they might not agree on the issues with. And he also called for Catholics of different political views to gather together, exchange views, and listen to each other. He even proposed that Catholic universities might be able to play a role in these kinds of synodal gatherings. So something we'll have to keep an eye on to see if that comes to fruition.
Absolutely. Jonathan Liedl, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Now to Louisiana, where after 40 years, Planned Parenthood has closed its only two clinics. This comes amid political pressure and funding concerns. Life is protected through all 9 months in the Bayou State. Following the announcement, the state's Republican governor says that Louisiana is now the most pro-life state in the nation. We have a lot more still to come on EWTN News Nightly, including...
Some of my employees were killed here because they stayed despite the occupation. There were cadavers thrown on the street.
EWTN News is on the ground in Ukraine to show how children are being affected and who's helping them. And on her feast day, we take you to Rome to show you the special way the church is honoring St. Therese of Lisieux this Jubilee year. In times of war, children are not only the most vulnerable, but also the most profoundly affected. EWTN Vatican journalist Valentina Di Donato recently traveled to Ukraine with the Order of Malta. She brings us a closer look at how the church is supporting those in need.
Maxim is not even 10 years old, and he has already experienced more than most adults. This is the third hospital where he is being treated, receiving dialysis treatment. The other two hospitals where he was being treated in the occupied regions of Ukraine were bombed. We are inside the St. Nicholas Hospital in Lviv, Ukraine. They are currently treating 315 children with serious war wounds.
Our experience from beginning the war gave us hope and possibilities to treat another children from all Ukraine, almost from eastern part too, because many patients, many children, many families are relocated from that parts, and we can better help them than it was in the start.
And due to the weapons of war becoming more insidious, Dr. Shevchuk says the type of wounds he is treating on his little patients are now becoming more complex.
It was bombed almost this department where dialysis was performed. Mm-hmm. And one doctor died under this bombing and many, many damaged doctors and patients.
What is his name?
Maxim.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Dr. Shevchuk also says that he is seeing an increase in deformities of newborns, a phenomenon he tells us is more collateral damage from the war. According to a UNICEF report, more than 2,520 children have been killed or injured since February 2022. The true numbers are likely far higher, as these figures account only for casualties verified by the UN.
Since chronic stress during pregnancy perform growing of inborn defects, different defects, not only urinary system, it's with lung, cardiac system, neurology defects.
According to a recent UN Human Rights report, death, war injuries, and lasting family separation are among the traumatic events that have upended the lives of Ukraine's children in the 3 years since the Russian Federation launched its full-scale invasion. This is an orphanage outside of Kiev where children await adoption. The director tells us that there has been a dramatic increase in the number of children abandoned since the start of the war, as parents are killed or missing, and others feel they can't financially or psychologically care for their children. The director of the Kiev City Center for Social Support of Children and Families, Tatiana Lamar, tells me that there needs to be a happy oasis for these children. But even the orphanage can become a target.
Some of my employees were killed here because they stayed despite the occupation. There were cadavers thrown on the street. This was our reality. When we returned, we needed so much time to clean here. It's very hard to talk about this.
Russian soldiers came into the very playground and killed some of Tatiana's employees. The Order of Malta reconstructed the entire playground, allowing what was once the setting of the unthinkable into a place for new life and opportunity to grow. The war is a contrast of realities, the starkest and most harrowing sights amidst familiar normalcy. Igor is a boy who is playing with a golden retriever. But Igor stepped on a mine while playing outside in his town, which was occupied. He is now in the process of rehabilitation to prepare for a prosthetic leg so that he can pursue his dream of playing basketball.
I like play basketball.
In Lviv, Ukraine, Valentina DiGiannotto for EWTN News Nightly.
Up next on EWTN News Nightly, overcoming defeat. Pope Leo delivers a powerful message on the true meaning of the resurrection. Plus, one of the most beloved Catholic saints, St. Thérèse of Lisieux, and her ties to the city of Rome. Pope Leo tells the faithful that the resurrection of our Lord is not a moment of revenge nor retaliation. Instead, it is a reminder of how we can rise again after defeat if we focus on love.
Che Dio perdona, rialza, ridona fiducia.
In his weekly talk, the Holy Father says there was not a shadow of resentment from Jesus despite his suffering. And by showing his wounds, the Lord offers us a guarantee of forgiveness. He added that the resurrection is the center of our faith and the heart of our hope. Finally, tonight, as we mentioned earlier, the church celebrates the feast of St. Thérèse of Lisieux, or as she is known by many, the Little Flower. Although she was from France, Rome played a very special part in her journey toward becoming a Carmelite nun. EWTN Vatican journalist Benedict Sedegren has more.
St. Thérèse of Lisieux is among the most beloved Catholic saints, known for her little way, a spirituality of childlike trust and love. At just 15, Thérèse longed to enter the Carmelite convent and travel to Rome in 1887 with her father to seek permission from Pope Leo XIII. During that pilgrimage, she stayed not far from the church of Trinità dei Monti, where she often visited a special chapel with a miraculous painting to pray for help and guidance.
She came frequently at the chapel Mater Admirabilis to pray during her stay here in Rome. This chapel, which you have to see, is a beautiful place, a place of graces, where there is a painting of the Virgin Mary, a Virgin Mary which is a teenager, and you can see how she is really an inner person in prayer. And I think St. Thérèse, when she came, she was 15 years old, seeing this picture of the Virgin Mary, which is painted as a teenager, was probably a great help for her to pray.
For the Jubilee year, Trinità dei Monti was chosen as a church dedicated to St. Thérèse as part of a route highlighting the women who are patrons of Europe and doctors of the church. Because the church is historically linked to France and St. Thérèse is a French saint, the Vatican also requested that her relics be welcomed there for pilgrims to venerate.
And that's really the main experience of St. Thérèse, is that she was a poor person, but she had trust in God, and God who could make out of it great things. So whenever people come in and we explain it to them, they are very touched by it, and we give the opportunity to people to write their intentions of prayer on the paper and to put them in front of the reliques, And every day we collect hundreds of these papers. So it's quite amazing how people do not come for the reliques. But at the end, they come and they pray a while with the reliques.
Part of the church's Jubilee mission this year is to welcome pilgrims and offer them an opportunity to discover St. Thérèse in her little way, through which we're invited to acknowledge that we are weak and powerless, like little children, and trust in God's grace, who humbles himself to lift us up rather than waiting for us to climb to him. Do little things with great love, St. Thérèse said, reminding us that even the smallest acts, like picking up a pin, when done for the love of God, can help save souls.
She's truly a doctor of love. And she has this particular way to just let people open their hearts. And so many times we've seen people who come into the church and have no clue where they are or, you know, really at the end of it. And to see them pray with St. Thérèse and hear of her, you see a huge smile on their face. And it's such a beautiful testimony, really.
In Rome, Benedictia de Grian for EWTN News Nightly.
We thank you for watching tonight. Remember, you can follow us on social media, Facebook, X, and Instagram at EWTN News Nightly. I'm Veronica Dudo. Good night and God bless.